Welcome to the Story Engine. This episode of Travel Time takes us to one of the most popular travel destinations in the world. Indeed, it is the very center of the world, as much a tourist favorite now as it was then or ever. I'm talking about the Eternal City of Rome. Here I am at the very epicenter of the known world. They say that all roads lead to Rome. Well, this is where they meet. A massive urban sprawl. And I'm right here in the thick of it, surrounded by the roaring din of hustle and bustle of commerce, throngs of people coming and going, just another day in the great capital of the great empire of Rome. To my right is the Palatine Hill, now the political center of Rome, a massive palace structure and home of Marcus Trajanus. To my left, Aventine, the commercial center dealing goods from Britain to China. Loud, crowded, brimming with energy. And in front of me, overlooking the Tiber River, is the Capitoline Hill, the old town mound with narrow, winding streets, magnificent temples, and traditional architecture. And to my rear, a building massive in size and cultural significance. Whether you're a senator, plebeian, freeman, or slave, there is almost nothing more important to the inhabitants of Rome than horse racing. Today, we're going to explore a Roman institution, the place where dreams are made and broken. Let's take a look together at the Circus Maximus. For 700 years, the people of Rome have flocked to this spot on race day. But the Circus Maximus wasn't always the impressive building you see here. After all, Rome wasn't built in a day. And when King Tarquinius first started these races, Romans gathered up the grassy slopes of the Palatine and Aventine Hills to watch horses run a dirt track. Over time, the studio grew to the massive scale you see today. Augustus even built his balcony to connect his palace from the Palatine just so that he could see from the best seat in the house. What we have now is nothing short of spectacular. Standing down here in the gravel of the oval track, I am totally surrounded by three stories of marble. Trajan's recent improvements make this place look more like a temple than a sporting arena. You can just imagine the roar heard from 250,000 fanatical spectators as the jockeys wrangle their four-horse chariots perilously around this hairpin turn at extraordinary speeds. Right here, just above the corner marker, you can see seven eggs on a stand. So every time the riders make a lap around the oval, they remove one of these eggs. And when you get up to a dozen four-horse chariots barreling around here at top speed, it can get pretty nasty on these turns. And the crowd reaches a fever pitch as riders collide into mangled heaps while others break away from the pack to victory. For Romans, chariot racing is not just a sport, it's a religion. Just to give you an idea of how crazy Romans are about chariot racing, this stadium takes up several city blocks of the most expensive real estate in the entire Roman Empire. The colors that people support are often more important than political or even spiritual beliefs. Followers of the white, red, blue, and green teams have been known to have violent feuds. It's serious business. Trajan himself does not even make his favorite team public for fear of political upheaval. But could the political arena really have given way to the sports arena? We caught up with Decimus Juvenalis, a popular Roman satirist. Famous for his comical observations of Roman society, this is a man who does not mince words. He even got himself exiled to Egypt for comments he made about Roman theater. This is what he had to say about Rome's obsession with horses. Long ago, the people shed their anxieties. Ever since, we do not sell our votes to anyone. For the people who once conferred imperium, symbols of office, legions, everything, now hold themselves in check and anxiously desire only two things: the grain dole and chariot races in the circus. Could Roman politics really be nothing more than bread and circuses? There must be more to it than that. After all, we are talking about the greatest empire that ever existed here. To get a more down-to-earth view on the matter, we spoke to Pliny the Younger. He's a lawyer and respected member of the equestrian class. He and his late uncle, Pliny the Elder, have extensively documented the events of their times, including the sole written eyewitness account of the disaster of the city of Pompeii. We visited him in his beautiful villa on the shores of Lake Como and asked him if Romans really are obsessed with the races. I am the more astonished that so many thousands of grown men should be possessed again and again with a childish passion to look at galloping horses and men standing upright in their chariots. If indeed they were attracted by the swiftness of the horses or the skill of the men, one could account for their enthusiasm. But in fact, it is a bit of cloth they favor, a bit of cloth that captivates them. It seems that no matter who you speak to, that piece of cloth, whether it belongs to the red, green, white, or blue, is serious business in this town. Well, there's only one way to clear this up. It's time I went to see these races for myself. As you can hear from the deafening roar of the crowd all around me, it's race day at the Circus Maximus. And from my modest seat, you can see just how enormous this place is. The track is a massive U-shape with a long platform down the middle. It's called a spina. And it's just decorated with all kinds of statues, and it acts like a kind of scoreboard. And you can see at the end of the spina are the markers I was talking about earlier with the eggs. That's also where the riders take their death-defying hairpin turn. That's really where most of the action happens. And when a rider goes down, or as they call it, shipwrecks, the crowd here goes absolutely bananas. So after a series of religious processions, and then you got dancers and musicians, right now, we can see the riders actually taking position at the start of the gates called the carceres. The races go on all day, and some with single riders. You got two horse chariots. But if you think it's loud now, wait until we get to the big race, the quadrigae. 12 chariots, each with four horses, and they do 7 terrifying laps around this track, all competing for a palm branch, and of course the winner's purse. But that's not the only money at stake here. By the looks of it, it's a big day for the bookies. And while technically the state doesn't sanction gambling, it seems to be going on pretty much everywhere around me. Since the races go on all day, you have to make sure that you keep yourself fed and well hydrated. Here under the stands, you can find a whole world of shops and food stands. Right now, I'm standing in the bowels of the Circus Maximus. This long arcade of shops and stands has everything. Fast food, drinks, souvenirs, you can buy these noisemakers, and further down under those arches are actually a variety of prostitutes for every price range. This little stand here sells a kind of vegetable stew that they keep in a row of clay pots. You can also buy bread, fruit, and it's all eaten with a tart little fish sauce condiment called garum. The Romans seem to put it on everything, but foreigners might find it a little bit of an acquired taste. The only thing you can't get here is tableware. Whether you eat right here at one of these tables, or you take it away with you, you need to bring your own plate, spoon, and cup. But like any crowded place in Rome, you also have to keep a keen eye. It's also a haven for pickpockets, ready to prey on unsuspecting tourists. So there we have it. A day at the races, Roman style. Say what you want about Romans and their obsession with horse racing, but Pliny's right. It is a momentous waste of time and energy, and yes, it is a huge distraction from important matters, but it's a whole lot of fun, and a great way to spend another sunny day in the Eternal City. Until next time, I'm Tristan Verboven, saying Ave Atque Vale to another episode of Travel Time. See you next time!